We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Mike Tomlin from the NFL owners meetings. Going to hear from him coming up in a minute. You can give us a ring, 412-928-9370 on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. One more thing on this whole go ACC movement, Doran. Conference realignment sucks, and for a variety of different reasons. It sucks. They don't care about geography. It's all about TV. It's all about making money, blah, 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 blah. But you got Pitt fans openly rooting for conference rivals like Duke, North Carolina, NC State, all in the name of the ACC. You think 15 years ago, 20 years ago, if the Big East were quote-unquote disrespected, that you'd have Pitt fans rooting for West Virginia or Syracuse or Villanova or UConn? Hey, you go, UConn. You carry the torch. You carry the flag for the Big East. I'm going to answer my own question. Hell freaking no, man. Go Syracuse. It's good for the Big East. I don't think there would have been a shot in hell of that happening.
Yeah, you bring up a good point.
Right?
You bring a good point, yeah.
I'd be more inclined as a West Virginia guy to root for Iowa State now, I guess, because I don't hate them the way that I used to hate those Big East teams. Conference realignment sucks. And I'm here to tell you this too, Pitt fans. North Carolina wants out. Clemson wants out. If the ACC could keep those teams and shoot Pitt into the sun, they would do that in a heartbeat. So the ACC doesn't love you. You don't got to love the ACC. That's all. You tell I put some thought into this?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. I think you're a little upset.
What am I upset about?
Because the Big 12.
What the hell do I care if the Big 12 does well? They won the national championship in two of the last 3 years. They don't need any endorsement from me. And if the ACC winds up getting a couple of teams in the Final Four, they don't need any endorsements from Pitt fans. They don't.
Okay.
All right, Mike Tomlin. They need wide receiver or wide receivers. They need a center, or maybe they need centers. Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say about wide receivers and how they might go about getting one.
We got a lot of options there. There's still a lot of capable guys on the market. The draft is probably unusually deep at that position and has been for the last several years. I just think that receivers and those that cover them come probably a little bit more ready-made in today's game than maybe in years past. I think it's the evolution of 7-on-7 football for high school kids. I just think their development, their skills relative to their positions come with a higher floor. Much like AAU basketball, probably transform basketball. I think 7-on-7 has had a significant impact on the passing game and those that participate in it. And I think that's why there's always a lot of wideouts that appear to be game ready, corners that appear to be game ready. They're playing football and working on skills relative to football over the course of a 12-month calendar. doing significant developmental age groups now.
That's very interesting that he gave credit to 7-on-7s, knowing that he's such an old-school coach and knowing what go into 7-on-7s is more like a brand-building opportunity whenever you see high school kids doing 7-on-7. I mean, you're not in pads. You're not playing real football. And I would think that, you know, the timing and things of that nature would, you know, not enhance a player as they move forward to college and they move forward to the pros to be game ready, especially quarterbacks. I mean, you're not getting a rush. You're not in pads. You're not throwing. There's no sequences where you have to worry about. You're just kind of sitting back there and playing catch, if you will. I was very, very, and I know there's a bigger discussion here about the receivers and the Steelers.
Yeah.
But hearing him say that and give credit to the development of receivers, and there's more ready receivers now than there was in the past because of high school 7-on-7s, was very interesting. But that also tells me that they aren't going to shy away from maybe taking two receivers in the draft because they think that they're ready.
Yeah, what I took from that was there's no panic because right. They know they can get good receivers, whether it be in free agency or in the draft. Your point is a good one, though, Doran, because I think most coaches don't like the 7-on-7
they
stuff.
They don't.
I mean, it'll pump kids up. I mean, you're talking about sponsorships at a young age, coaches that aren't with their high school programs who are trying to develop them for 7-on-7, maybe not so much regular football. There's a lot of negative that goes into all of that, but he does make some sense. Well, corners and wide receivers, that's more or less the same. Ish, you're not getting your head taken off over the middle of the field. I also found it odd. Corners, they can come in and they're ready to go right away. Well, why'd Joey Porter take him until halfway through the season before he started getting starters reps, right?
True.
These guys, they're ready-made. These corners, they plug and play. Yeah, week 7, we'll let Joey Porter Jr. finally get going here. But he's talking about wide receivers. There's a lot of them. And there was no panic in his voice. And there rarely ever is with Mike Tomlin. But listen to how he talks about the center position. Because the two biggest holes on this roster, I think, our center and wide receiver. Maybe you throw corner in there as well. Here's what he had to say about the center market.
You know, it's still a work in progress. Obviously, we still got Herbick on our roster, but we've got some work to do there, whether it's continued in free agency and or the draft. We'll get something done, obviously, at that position. But you can say the same thing about, you know, some other obvious positions where we might be short on the depth chart from a number standpoint.
So not panic so much as, yeah, we're going to need to get a guy. We got Nate Herbig. Or is it Nick?
Nate.
I do it every time.
Yeah.
Herbig. He called him Herbig. He was going to do the same thing there, Doran. I will omit the first name. I'm just going to call him Herbig. I think, again, not panic, but I think he understands right now my starting center is Herbig.
Yes.
And that's not good enough. He also went on to say that a lot of these centers aren't going to be ready-made for the NFL.
Obviously, it's different than receiver, the discussion that we were having regarding the development of receiver, but I don't view center any different than any of the other positions. You know, they're going to be a segment of guys in a draft pool that are ready to go, and then they're going to be the larger body that isn't.
So if you miss out on those top two guys, basically what Mike Tomlin is saying, you're not going to be finding a center that's plug-and-play day one, which then brings us back to Herbig. That cannot happen.
Well, it's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to hope that Nate Herbig, like I did it.
Herbig.
They're going to hope that Nate Herbig can take over this spot and be the guy, and they're still going to draft a young guy, even if it's in the first round or the second round, if it's the two top dogs, and they're going to let them wait a little bit because that transition is hard. I mean, if you're not ready, then you can't really. I mean, we saw it with Green. But if you're not like a Marquise Pouncey, ready to go right off the block, then it's going to be a tough sledding. So I believe that they're going to ride with Nate Herbig, give him the ball to start, and hopefully he takes over and draft somebody, and hopefully that they could come along slowly. Develop into it. That's exactly what's going to happen.
I took it the other way. I took it that they're going to take a center 20th.
Even if they do that, I think that they're still going to ride with Nate from the jump.
It's hard for me to disagree with that, even though Mike Tomlin.
You could swing him. You could swing the center can always play guard.
Well, Mike Tomlin made it pretty clear right there that there are a couple of guys that can do it right away, and then mostly you can't. If you drafted one of those guys who could, there's some precedent for that. I mean, they tried it with, you mentioned him, Kendrick Green, even though he clearly wasn't ready. They did it with Dan Moore Jr., who I don't think has ever been ready to play left tackle in the NFL. I can't really disagree with you, though, Doran, even though he feels so strongly, clearly, about those top two centers, because last year they believed the Joey Porter Jr., and it took him forever to play. You didn't get Keanu Benton playing a lot of snaps until Cam Hayward got hurt.
That's totally different positions compared to center, too.
Yeah.
You got to know 1,000 times more than playing defensive line or playing corner at center.
Tomlin made it clear later on in this conversation, too, I didn't clip this one, that they're not necessarily looking for a bunch of leadership from the center position right now, though. Like, he was asked specifically about Maurkice Pouncey, but he kind of explained it away. We've got a veteran quarterback, so we don't need a leader at that position.
Well, they would have if it was Kenny Pickett.
No doubt.
So this has changed things for in their mindset of how they address the center position. Now, if it was Kenny, and maybe even Mason to some extent, they would have had to rely on the center to do certain things. But now, whenever you have Russell Wilson, as you're alluding to right now, it does take a lot off the center that they can just go block, not have to worry about any of the mental gymnastics that you have to as a normal center.
I have never felt stronger about what they're doing at 20, and I think they're taking a center. But I also agree with you, that doesn't necessarily mean that guy's going to start, because they believe Herbig's the option. That's the first time that's been said this offseason.
Broderick Jones.
We're going to get into Broderick Jones later, because Mike Tomlin said something about Broderick that makes me want to pull my hair out. But coming up next, Mike Tomlin commented on the Deontay Johnson trade. And I'll tell you what, Doran Dickerson, I think he lied through his damn teeth. That's next. You can text us, 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Armstrong Comfort with Matt Mertz Plumbing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Somebody finally commented on the Deontay Johnson trade, and that's Mike Tomlin. We'll hear from him coming up in a moment. But first, tomorrow is our Giant Eagle Feed the Need to benefit Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, the Radiothon. You can donate now at 937thefan.com or text NEED to 50155. That's NEED to 50155, brought to you by Pittsburgh Regional Transit, Wiggle Whiskey, Hampton Beer Outlet, Billfew Associates Wealth Management, and Spitzer Toyota. We got a loaded up show for the people tomorrow, Doran.
Yes, we do.
We got Kevin Colbert, former Steelers general manager, coming on. Neil Walker, Tyler Kennedy, John Wehner, a bunch of other special treats as well. Curtis Aiken is going to lead us off, as he always does, and we're trying to get Pat Narduzzi to jump on the show too. So looking forward to talking with them about Pittsburgh sports and also helping the community. That's tomorrow, Feed the Need. And again, that phone number is, you text NEED to 50155. That's NEED to 50155. All right, Mike Tomlin at the NFL owners meetings talked about the Deontay Johnson trade. Did he ask out, Mike? Was there more than just a player-for-player swap here?
Really, it was simple, man. We traded player-for-player. We had an opportunity to get D-Jack. D-Jack is a guy that we've evaluated probably several times, since he's been in the league, when he came out of LSU, when he faced free agency. We needed some assistance and depth and quality players at that position. And so we made the move. They needed Deontay. We needed D-Jack. It was a good exchange.
You buying it?
Nope.
I'm not buying it at all.
Nope.
Legarius Sneed traded over the weekend for, what, a third-round pick?
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers could have made that move, and you could have added Legarius Sneed to this room, to that position. You would have had to pay him big money. We'll get into this more full form in the next segment. I mean, I think the Steelers absolutely should have done that, but you could have done that not got D-Jax or whatever Mike Tomlin's calling him, and you could still have had Deontay Johnson on this roster. They moved on from Deontay Johnson not because he's not good enough. They didn't move on from Deontay Johnson because they thought that that could add to their cornerback room. That just happened to be what they could get in return for him at a position of need. But make no mistake, they got rid of that guy because they didn't want to deal with his crap anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about that.
Well, they didn't want to make a trade for L'Jarius Sneed. Like, yeah, I think that's what you're just saying, right?
Yeah.
L'Jarius Sneed, I mean, that's what Kansas City was in on Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, you could have gotten, yeah, great point.
Right.
I didn't even connect those dots.
That was the number one team that was inquiring about him. Why not trade for L'Jarius Sneed, then make a new deal for him?
You could have gone player in, player out for L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah.
You would have had to do a sign-and-trade. You'd assign L'Jarius Sneed for like $20 million a season or whatever the going rate is for corners. Deontay Johnson was making $18 million. I think, what was his cap hit? $16 million, something like that. You could have done player for player in that regard.
Yes.
And I would have much rather had that player. Or you could have not done player for player. You give up an asset in the draft and you could have got L'Jarius Sneed because we just saw that move get made. Like, you, if you wanted to acquire a corner, you did not have to part with Deontay Johnson. We also saw Fuller go to Miami for what, 2 years and $16 million?
Right.
Who's a player that grades out wherever you look at better than the guy the Steelers got for Deontay Johnson. You could have got him for the price of cash. Like, you did not have to trade Deontay Johnson to get a corner. And that Mike Tomlin is saying that he's lying through his teeth. They did not want Deontay Johnson. There was a way to keep him and upgrade that position, and they didn't do it. They moved him to quote unquote upgrade at the position. Don't lie to me, Mike.
Yeah,
we're smarter than that.
They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to trim the fat, as if you will. They wanted to trim the fat, and whether he asked or not, I think that they were talking about the premeditative process with Kenny Pickett. They were premeditating of getting rid of Deontay Johnson because of what happened throughout the year and what happens in the offseason whenever he just starts running his mouth.
Right, and we sat here with Mark Caboli on the Monday after the NFL Combine. And he said he had heard that Deontay Johnson wasn't exactly making it a secret that he didn't want to be in Pittsburgh anymore. You know, I think if Mike had admitted to that, as we get to the why, if he would have admitted to that, then that paints him in a bad light for not having suspended him last year, for sitting him down whenever he gave up on that play. And I do wonder if there's a little bit of a disconnect here between the general manager and the head coach. Mike Tomlin's not a big reprimand guy. Well, he did it with Chukwuemeka for because I guess he was left no choice. But that guy, he ain't here anymore. Deontay Johnson, he ain't here anymore. Kenny Pickett, he didn't want to be here. He's not here anymore. But Mike Tomlin handles those kinds of things different than I think Omar Khan handles those things. And maybe if Mike had spoken on that, then he would, in his mind, look bad, I guess. That's at least how I read
it. Or cause some disruption between he and Omar Khan.
Mm-hmm. I think that the further we get along here in this offseason, without the wide receiver position being addressed, the more clear it is to me that they were willing to take on a hole on their roster because they want to change the culture so desperately bad.
No doubt about it.
And it makes me wonder what Omar really does think about the culture. It does. I mean, he had defensive players campaigning for Russell Wilson. He went out and he got Russell Wilson to be the starting quarterback. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick fought with Deontay Johnson. Like, I'm wondering if they haven't had the conversation, but in the moves, Omar's saying, we're not going to put up with that kind of stuff anymore. And I'm wondering what that might mean for the draft, too. The guys who tumbled down the board, not dissimilarly to George Pickens from last year, I wonder if they steer clear of them. My educated guess would be yes. That they don't want to deal with malcontents anymore. Like, that's an old Steelers thing.
Yes.
And they're not going to deal with that anymore.
Right. Especially on offense. I mean, it's more offense driven than anything. And they knew that the defense was holding up their bargain of having leaders on the defense, and there was no leaders on the offense. And it's like, well, like, this isn't a one-sided show here. We need some leaders on our offense, and especially at the quarterback position. And whether you think that Russell Wilson's not a leader or he is a leader, he's played a lot of games that could just give you the best opportunity to kind of rake the ship on offense and cut the fat of everything else that was going on.
If I'm George Pickens, I'm worried that I'm the next piece of fat. Not this offseason, but if I'm not walking on a straight and narrow, there is no guarantee that that guy's going to be a Steeler next year. And if he acts a fool, if he acts out, if he's not walking in line with the other guys, that would either tell me that A, he's incapable of doing it, or B, he understands that he could get himself out of here. And I wonder if he might try to push himself out. That's a conversation probably for a later day. But if I'm George Pickens, I am acutely aware of how things have gone down this offseason. I can't wait for the draft. Cannot wait. 412-928-9370 if you'd like to chime in on this conversation. Coming up next, yes, the Steelers did miss out on Legarius Sneed, and there's an argument for why that I don't buy. That rhymes. So Legarius Sneed was traded, he's an all-pro corner, from the Kansas City Chiefs to the Tennessee Titans for what amounts to basically a 2025 third-round pick. The Steelers should have done that. They absolutely should have done that. They need a receiver. They need a center. Receivers you can get in the draft. Center, they probably struck out in free agency, so you probably need one there in the draft. Well, you can't get those two positions and a corner in the draft then. Not guys who are going to be starter capable this year. You could have had Legarius Sneed for $19.8 million for the cost of a 2025 third-round pick. And what I saw was from people like Andrew Filippone and others out there, well, the Steelers spend too much money on defense. So why would you want to add another $20 million player on defense? Here are the teams in the league that spend the most on defense, Doran Dickerson. The Steelers are number one at $149.4 million. The Packers are two at 137, Niners at 128, Jags 108, Patriots 107, Falcons, Jets, Bears, Buccaneers, Ravens. The teams that spend the most on defense either don't have franchise quarterbacks or ain't paid them yet. Like the Packers, you're going to spend $137 million on defense because you have Jordan Love on a bridge deal. The 49ers, guess what? They're working with Mr. Irrelevant, a rookie quarterback deal. The Jags, a rookie quarterback deal. The Patriots, they can spend money on whatever. They don't have a quarterback. The Falcons, they didn't until now. The Jets, Aaron Rodgers, but again, they're pretty much 50-50 on offense versus defense split. The Bears ain't got one. The Buccaneers just paid Baker Mayfield, but until then, they didn't have to pay a guy. And then the Ravens, they have a franchise quarterback they're paying a lot of money to, but they spend about half their money on offense versus defense. I think it's a bad argument. Like, if you've got a rookie quarterback and you feel like, or a like-costing quarterback like the Steelers do, spend whatever money on whatever you have to, because it's all about talent procurement. I don't care if you draft offensive players or draft defensive players. I don't care if you pay for offensive players or pay for defensive players. How good's your team? The Steelers have a hole at corner. It's a position they haven't drafted well. Why would you not try to swing a trade for a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, and especially within the division. I know that T. Higgins and that whole situation, but Cincinnati, you got Jamar Chase, you got, you know, in Cleveland, they're paying guys at receiver. You want to fight fire with fire. So I don't really buy into, oh, the Steelers spent too much money on defense. If you're trying to shore up one unit, whether it's offense or defense, to fight fire with fire, I'm fine with it. Like, as long as you address needs elsewhere, but if you have the money to do so, like you, I guess, potentially would have with Legarius Sneed, if you could have worked out a deal. I mean, you have Legarius Sneed, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Joey Porter Jr. Like, you're talking about one of the best defenses, literally the best defense in football. So why not? Why not spend the money?
The teams, Doran, without franchise quarterbacks that spend a lot on offense, it gets them nowhere. It gets them nowhere. You got the Browns at $188.8 million, all tied up on that offensive side of the ball. And did they win a playoff game? No, they got their doors blown off. The Cowboys, third most money that they pay on the offense, a perennial playoff disappointment. The Broncos come in fifth at $151.1 million. What did that buy them? The Giants at 148.5 are the sixth highest paid offense in the NFL. What did that get them? The Cardinals, 146.5. The Falcons, 141.1. The Colts, 135.9. People try to say, if you pay for offense, you win. If you pay for defense, you don't win. No, if you have a quarterback, you win. If you don't have a quarterback, you probably lose.
Right.
It's not that complicated. Like, where are the Broncos? Let's spend all this money on offense. You suck. The Falcons, let's spend all this money on offense. You suck. If you find the right quarterback and you pay that quarterback, you're going to then wind up spending more money on offense. And if he really is the right guy, you're going to win games. Mm-hmm. If you spend a lot of money on quarterback and he's not the right guy, I'd rather just spend that money on defense. And with the way the Steelers are built, not having to pay Russell Wilson, not having to pay Justin Fields, I'm totally fine with beefing up on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
And it's why I wish they would have got L'Jarius Sneed for the cost of a 2025 third-round pick. Like, what are you missing there? I mean, that's next year's problem.
Right.
And you just got a third-round pick for Kenny Pickett. Deals are there to be made. Like, it's not like you can't recoup one of those if you want one. I just think if there's a good player who can be had for next to nothing, then you go out and get him. And that would be the compensation, but you'd have to pay the guy a lot of money. I'm fine with that, too.
Fine with that, too. Like,
do you not have the visions of sugar plums in your head when you think about L'Jarius Sneed on one side and Joey Porter Jr. on the other? Good luck, offenses. And if they spent that big money on a wide receiver instead, are you going to outscore the Chiefs? No, I think the way that you beat the Chiefs with your fingers crossed is you hope your quarterback can make enough plays, but your defense makes it so that you don't have to score 35 points.
Yeah, can slow it down.
Yes.
Having a guy like that would.
I think it's a missed opportunity there.
A little bit.
And if you really wanted to do it, do you think Kansas City wouldn't have rather had Deontay Johnson for L'Jarius Sneed instead of a 2025 third-round pick? Yes, please.
That just tells us that the whole Deontay Johnson, they just wanted him out too. Because you could have easily, I mean, not easily, but you could have made that happen.
Do you think it had to do with you don't want to give Kansas City a receiver that you think would do really well with?
Your give and take, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll give you a receiver that'll be your number two receiver that we want off of our books because of situations to take your best, arguably second best defensive player. Like, that's fine. We'll do a swap for swap. Fine. Like, I'm giving you something, you're giving us something. I would not be put in a corner if and feeling a certain way if that was the case.
I'd feel better about that move significantly than what they did. Like, I don't want to help the Chiefs out. I really don't. But you play them once in the regular season, and if all things go according to plan, you'd play them in the postseason, fine. But you're trying to get there first and foremost. And I think you get there with L'Jarius Sneed a little bit easier than you get there with the guy that they got from Carolina.
Yep.
412-928-9370. You can chime in if you want. We got Jason Mackey joining us at 8 o'clock. Pirate season just around the corner, Doran Dickerson. Thursday, everything gets going in Miami. What's the latest on the rotation? It sounds like Jared Triolo is going to be the starting second baseman for the Bucks. The bullpen's taking on water. We'll get into all that with Jason Mackey at 8. But coming up next, I am not worried about Russ Wilson's off-the-field issues from the last 2 years, Doran. Why? Well, Tomlin laid it out yesterday.
You know, I think probably the most attractive component of his profile to me is that, you know, his quest for greatness, man, his chase for legacy. This is not a guy who is hungry, meaning that can be satisfied. This is a guy that's driven. And you want to work with people of that mindset. This guy's got a vision of what he wants his career to look like, and he's got a lot of work to do. Obviously, he's had some professional challenges, particularly in recent years, and he appears to be a guy that wants to meet those challenges head on and continue to move forward with his career, and that was attractive.
Driven, not hungry. That's what Mike Tomlin says about Russ Wilson. That is such a good line that Rich Eisen thinks the Steelers should give him a lifetime contract. I mean, that really is a good Tomlinism there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what he means.
Right, me too.
It's well said. It's why any of the people who we've talked to that have said, well, just be careful because Russ's teammates didn't like him, Russ's coaches didn't get along with him, I think we don't have to worry about that this year. I think if it's a multi-year deal with Russ, maybe. But there ain't no multi-year deal with Russ unless he proves that, A, he can play the game, and B, also be a good soldier. And he's got a lot to prove. You're going to get the best possible version of Russ, I think, Dorn, because he's basically on probation here.
Yeah.
Like, 1 foot out of line, you're done.
Yeah, he's looking for that next contract again. I mean, he's getting $39 million, obviously, from the Denver Broncos and getting 1.2 here, but this is a prove-it deal. This is kind of a, let me just reinvent myself, re-image myself, and he's going to, and he, like Thomas said, he's not hungry, he's driven. I mean, people that are hungry and players that are hungry at that level, they're hungry for a championship. Russ has already eaten that dinner. So he's driven to get back to that place. And I think that him kind of setting back and resetting and restarting his engines here in Pittsburgh, you're going to get, like you just said, Crowley, the best version of him. He's going to be, you know, on the straight and narrow. And his only goal is to win a championship. Like, think about it. Like, at this point, this is why Aaron Donald retired. Like, in his mind, he's like, what else can I accomplish? Like, I'm going to go down as one of the best defensive players ever. I won a Super Bowl. I made over $100 million. Like, when you get to that point, it's like, what am I driven? And Aaron Donald admitted, he's like, I'm just not driven anymore. Like, I've done what I needed to do. In Russell Wilson's case, the fact that he's still playing, he's driven to get back to right the wrongs that probably transpired in the last 3 years and to show that he can get back and win another championship. He's already been there twice, won one, lost one, but he wants to end his career on winning another one, and he knows he has the formula to do that.
He says he wants to play 5 to 7 more years. You're not going to do that if you don't have a successful first season, and you're not going to have a successful first season if you're a big jackass.
And I find it very interesting, and take it for what it's worth here, that he finds the best situation for him to do that is in Pittsburgh. Like, that is interesting. Like, take it for what it's worth, I get it. But he feels that he can get on the straightened path, and his best chance to getting to that end goal is to do it here in Pittsburgh. Like, he had other opportunities, but he just turned them down and was like, I'm signing with Pittsburgh because this is where I need to be, and this is where I think that I can revamp my career.
You bring up that's a good topic, I think, actually, and a question. I'll ask that question in a second. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Do you think they had to sell Russ more on the Steelers, or do you think the Steelers had to be sold more on Russ?
I think it was a match made in heaven. I think that Russ knew what he was getting himself into talking with Mike Tomlin and knowing that Mike Tomlin was the head coach. I mean, we talk about all the time how many players, probably about 95% of the players in the NFL, respect Mike Tomlin and want to play for him. I think once he walked in the building and had probably 15 minutes of a conversation with Mike Tomlin, it was them selling each other, and they're kind of like, bing, like, oh, well, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like a match made.
Swipe
ahead.
Right, Tinder profile, everything lines
bang.
Up. Yeah, we both enjoy long walks on the beach.
Yep.
Let's talk about that more in detail coming up after we talk to Jason Mackey next. The Pirates, they're going to finalize some roster decisions today. Opening day is on Thursday. Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, he's our Pirates insider. We'll talk to him when we come back. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. Today, oh, hi, 64.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.